If you want to know how people live when they don't have to worry about money, look no further than Star Trek. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Jack Stewart in for Molly Wood. A lot of good science fiction presents a darkly dystopian view of the future, where humans battle for limited resources and they're starkly divided between the haves and have-nots. But some views of the future are more utopian, more techno-optimistic. In Star Trek, members of the Federation live in a post-money society. Everyone has the basics, nobody has to work, and ordering whatever you need is as easy as telling a replicator, tea, Earl Grey, hot. As Trekkies get excited for the latest incarnation of Star Trek, Picard, we thought we'd look in a bit more detail at how that society works. It's the latest in our summer series, Fact-Checking Sci-Fi. Manu Saadia is the author of Trekonomics, and he says the concept of no money is crucial to the series.
It defines the ethos of all the characters in Star Trek. It defines the universe. And it is the absence of money, but it is also the changes in behaviors. You hear Patrick Stewart give a spiel where it's like, we have grown out of our infancy.
We have eliminated hunger, want, the need for possessions. We've grown out of our infancy.
So if there's no money, if there's no currency, if you don't have that drive to accumulate wealth, what does motivate characters in Star Trek? How does it actually work then?
Prestige. And the admiration of your peers and doing good and doing what is right. Throughout this mini series, justice seems to be their most profound concern and the what they're aiming for as good people.
Are there any examples in our society today of this concept of doing things for the greater good or not necessarily for accumulating wealth?
There are plenty. In fact, most of scientific research that then becomes turned into sometimes marketable goods is done for prestige, to benefit the greater good in whatever form, whether market or non-market. Another example of a public good like that is Wikipedia. It's amazing. It's free, and it's all of human knowledge at your fingertips.
When Gene Roddenberry was coming up with this whole universe and this whole concept, things like Bitcoin didn't exist. What do you think he would have made of that? Does that fit into this concept at all?
I always wondered if there is an accounting unit of some sort to sort of keep track of what is being made and what is being produced.
You mean like a Federation accounting unit?
Yeah, an accounting unit. Not a currency, but like something to keep track and account for the allocation of resources. But we don't see that in Trek. So these are the parameters of the world. I'd be very surprised that the next Picard show would be about, accumulating artifacts or something.
Suddenly
like that.
He starts carrying cash.
Yes, no. Or bitcoins,
Manu Saadia, author of Trekonomics. He says he spoke to some of the writers of the franchise for his book and has a newfound respect for their ability to create what is really just a workplace drama without money as a source of conflict. And now for some related links. The closest real-life experiment to that grand vision of everyone having access to everything they need might be the concept of universal basic income. It's being billed as a way to look after the welfare of humans when robots take all the work. It's an idea being embraced by some Silicon Valley entrepreneurs. We talked to one of the proponents, Matt Krisseloff, from the startup incubator Y Combinator, on Marketplace back in 2017. You can have a listen to why he thinks an experiment into the idea is worth it. UBI has become more mainstream recently, with Andrew Yang, Democratic presidential candidate, proposing something that he calls the freedom dividend. The Washington Post looks at whether he's succeeded in starting a conversation around it. And the most recent experiment is in Stockton, California, where 130 people are getting $500 a month with no strings attached in an interesting pilot program. It's a really clever idea, but the more you read, the more you realize that it is not going to usher in the utopian Star Trek-style future anytime soon. Now, if you really want to nerd out on currencies and monetary systems in sci-fi, and come on, who doesn't, check out the Encyclopedia of Science Fiction's page on money. It spells out some of the ways that writers have tried to make money a key plot point. One great example is the concept of compound interest applying to savings when people go into hibernation or stasis or they travel through time. Just by leaving their cash in an interest-paying account for a nice long time, they can become wealthy. It's kind of like what we're told to do with our 401ks. Way to make science fiction mundane, Jack. I am Jack Stewart, and that's today's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.